so when science was just getting started, they had a lot of things that they believed that sound pretty silly to us now. One of the things they believed in was called spontaneous generation of life. Spontaneous generation. They believed things like, you know, if you have too much dust around, given some time, it just might turn into fleas. Or they even did some experiments. If you take some dirty rags, maybe you cleaned up in the kitchen and stuff, and you put them in a box and you put them in the barn for a few weeks and then go check on it, it will have changed. You can find baby mice in there. It's just amazing. Let's see. Or you know, if you another experiment, if you take some meat and you don't eat it, you don't cook it, you just put it out somewhere, wait a few days and it'll spontaneously produce maggots. It's amazing. But then someone invented the microscope. The person that's given the most credit for it is Zacharias Jensen. Although, from the age of things, they think maybe his dad probably helped too. But they had a shop where they made glasses. They ground lenses for glasses. And so he made this first compound microscope. So two lenses. And they could, for the first time, they could see things that you couldn't see with the naked eye. You know, prior to that invention, this profound but simple device, the microscope, scientists believe some things about the human body that seem silly to us. And their diagnosis, their practices, their cures were primitive and sometimes frightening. Just awful. But the invention of the microscope brought new possibilities because it revealed unseen realities. The human body at the cellular level, the level that we can't just see with the naked eye, is very different from our world that we live in, but not completely removed from the physical body that we can see. And the microscope, it didn't create anything new. It wasn't that a microscope was invented and then all of a sudden this small world existed. The small world had always existed, just we couldn't perceive it. The microscope did. All the microscope did was allow us to see the small things that were already there. And the spiritual shift from seeing things to unseen things is like that. It allows us to see things in the spiritual realm that have always been there. They're just as real as the visible things, and even responsible for the conditions in the visible world, but remain invisible to those who can't see. So returning to our story of the disciples, you know, following Jesus along the way, in Mark chapter 10, they were told of a time they entered Jericho right after having another of those arguments about who was the greatest in the kingdom. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and the disciples and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He didn't even have to, get mud in his eyes and go wash. Immediately. So, along the road, it was this blind man, Bartimaeus, cried out to Jesus. When Jesus heard him, he called Bartimaeus over, asked him the same question that he'd asked the disciples earlier. Now, maybe earlier in this very chapter, in chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us what we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory.'" All right. So, Jesus asked, Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" They wanted really cool jobs in Jesus' kingdom. They wanted to be his right hand, his left hand men. And so now he asks, same chapter, Bartimaeus has come to him. "So what do you want?" He didn't ask for glory. He didn't ask for a high position. All he wanted was his sight. In that moment, Jesus healed him. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. In the New Testament, blindness is a powerful metaphor for what is wrong with us in our natural state. The healing of blindness is a metaphor for what God is trying to do in salvation. In the Gospels, blindness is never just physical, but spiritual as well. In Mark chapter 8, two chapters back, the disciples, Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Do you still not understand?" It's Mark 8, 18 and 21. And immediately after that conversation, he also healed a blind man that day, while the disciples continued to commit one blunder after another. So by the time Bartimaeus was healed of blindness and joined Jesus on the way, there were the disciples. They'd been following Jesus 2 years, but they were still blind in a sense. And there was Bartimaeus, who'd followed Jesus a few minutes, and he could see clearly. The shift from seen to unseen is like being healed of blindness to things that are eternal. It goes beyond believing in things that you can't see to believing to seeing things because you believe in them. Most Christians will say that they believe in things they can't see. But is that much better than a blind man believing that we exist and that, there's a pew and there's chairs and stuff? So most Christians say they believe in things they can't see, but this is only like a blind man saying he believes in the world around him, even though he remains blind. But when we are cured of spiritual blindness, we're moving in that direction. We fix our eyes on what is seen, but not on what is unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. God awakens our faculties for discerning his activity in the world, and we see his fingerprints everywhere. Paul prayed that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Ephesians 1:18. God has given us really two sets of eyes. One on our face, where we see the visible world. And as Paul said, the eyes of our heart to see what is happening in the invisible world. No, I'm not meaning that we're going to all be able to see angels and everything all the time. But there is being able to see, as the phrase goes, the fingerprint, the hand of God, how God is working in situations. Opening the eyes of our hearts, it never changes this world, the visible world, but it explains and reveals a completely different set of realities that can teach us how to live in the visible world. So, I heard of a missionary named Connie, a missionary doctor in South America. So she's a doctor, she's a scientist, she believes in science, uses her knowledge and skills to save lives, but sometimes they've done all they can and the situation is just hopeless. And in those cases, she prays for the patient and the nurses pray for the patient and the preaching missionary comes and prays for the patient. Usually, they still die. But sometimes people are healed. And Connie even has x-rays. This is what the person had wrong with them. And this is their x-ray now. And she has that kind of proof that miracles do happen. She has seen it enough that she knows there really is another world, another reality out there. Despite using science every day, she has learned that there's more to life than just science. The story of Elijah's servant. He saw Aram's armies, but it wasn't until Elijah prayed that God would open his eyes that he saw the army of God, that the hills were just full of them. It's interesting. The army of God didn't come sweeping down and strike them all dead. It struck them all blind. And then Elijah had them lead them to another city. And in the city, they could easily be wiped out there by the armies and stuff. But instead, Elijah prays again, they're granted their sight, they're given a meal and sent home, and they don't come back for quite some time. They leave Israel alone. We need to pray as Bartimaeus prayed, Jesus, Son of David, I want to see. The two men on the Emmaus Road, they walked and talked with Jesus but didn't recognize him before their eyes were opened. God's been telling me for a while to share something with you of a failing that I've had, maybe to help you identify or whatever. So, okay, I can do that. You know that there's one time when I really needed my spiritual eyes opened. So I would see Satan's attack. You know, I became a Christian when I was 18. And I also threw out the magazines I'd collected at the same time. And 7 years later, I've been married 5 years. And we had two beautiful little baby girls. And you know, babies are a lot of work. And two babies are a bit more work than just one. He says, don't you dare wake your sister up, you know? And I was getting tired, lack of sleep and all, and Pam was tired. And a temptation came to feel sorry for myself. Can you imagine that? Just because it's working day and night, and we didn't have time to be alone and go to movies or whatever anymore. Can you imagine I started feeling sorry for myself? One day, on the way home from work, I stopped at one of those, Plaid Pantry or 7-Eleven stores. And I bought a magazine. Hadn't done that in 7 years. And it came out of feeling sorry for myself. And I glanced at it in the car, and then I drove home. And I felt guilty. I felt miserable. And I don't remember well enough anymore if it was as soon as I got home, I felt so miserable that I just put it in the trash and that was it. Or whether it was a few hours later of just feeling miserable that I went and got it out of the car and put it in the trash. That's the last time that I paid money for such a thing. That's not the last time that I stumbled into porn or whatever. That's easy to do. But if I had had the spiritual eyes to see I was under attack and I needed to go to Jesus, not go to comfort. All right. So back to the story. When we are healed of our blindness, our spiritual blindness, it causes us to shift our values. We begin to assign to things the importance they have in reality. Things of the Spirit are the most essential in the world. They're not our hobbies. When we see what is unseen, we do not just wait for heaven to come. We notice the ideals of heaven and value them. We discover that we're never really alone. Like the disciples walking next to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, when their eyes were open, they recognized that Jesus was in the mundane places of life, and our hearts burn within us. G.K. Chesterton lived in the 1800s, and he was a hard-boiled, skeptical newspaper reporter. And then he became a Christian. And a very outspoken Christian, a speaker and a writer. And so then a reporter tracked him down and asked him one day, "Mr. Chesterton, if the risen Christ suddenly appeared at this very moment and stood behind you, what would you do?" And he said, "He is." Because he knew that Jesus, that God, is always with us. We should pray, "Jesus, Son of David, I want to see." We should pray this way. Daily, we should pray, "Jesus, I want to have eyes to see." Before every meeting, "Jesus, I want to have eyes to see." Before every service, "Lord, give us eyes to see." Before every appointment, we should learn new ways to talk about ordinary things. Instead of saying something happened, say, "The Lord allowed this." Instead of telling that you receive what you received, you should say, "God provided." Speaking of the world in physical terms is only one way of describing what happened. Begin to practice using other language. May God continue to open our eyes. May He help us to develop our faculties to see the unseen. Like Connie the missionary, like the servant of Elijah, may God open our eyes to see that the hills are on fire with the presence of God. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we have been kept from seeing the reality of another world that's right here with us. May Christ open our eyes today. May we begin to see here on earth what everyone is going to see in heaven. Amen. Let's pray for that. Oh, Father, our lives can be so much better when You've opened our eyes to see the reality of Your being with us, around us, in us. Help us to see your hand. Help us to come alongside and join you in your work. Help us to be aware of your presence every day, every hour, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.